At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
What's up? Welcome back to Playtesty. It is episode 218. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, subscribe. You know the drill. Rate 5 stars. We're on YouTube. Subscribe to WEI. Got the Playtesty playlist. So much fun we have talking about this team. It's me and Pat. Sammy is in Italy for like one or two more days. The way he described it to us is he's going to come back, and it's like the meme of the guy walking with the pizza box into the flaming room, which is about accurate.
I'd say so.
Subscribe or follow us on the socials at Playtesty everywhere. The Sox are 10-17 in their last 27. The front office doesn't seem to have much interest in putting the best roster on the field. The best player doesn't seem to have much interest in making it easy for the front office to put the best team on the field. And the manager, who should not be without blame, has got to be just throwing his hands in the air. Like, why can we all not just pull in the same direction? Like, I tuned into Breslow and Cora's availabilities on WEI today, and neither had much of anything interesting to say. Like, the most notable thing was when Breslow gets asked about Roman Anthony, but he just gives the same word salad every time of like, oh, like, we need him to be able to play every day, and we have these developmental opportunities for him down there and all this stuff. And it's just like, I get you can't say it. He can't say what they're actually doing, which is manipulating the service time, making sure he's not a Super 2 guy, making sure he won't win the Rookie of the Year. And in the end, like, they'll call him up when – I mean, I say they'll call him up when the season's cooked. Pat, is the season cooked now?
No, not yet. We're getting damn close.
You can't say it's cooked when, what are they? Are they 3.5 back of the wild card right now?
I think it's 4.5.
I can't even bear to look anymore. I used to keep, yeah, it's 4.5. I mean, the truth is, yeah, it's, yeah, 4.5 back of a third wild card spot in this era is bad. Like, we talk in our lives, Pat, we have not seen the Red Sox miss the playoffs 4 years in a row. And when we were growing up, there was 3 division winners and 1 wild card, and the Red Sox were routinely one of those teams. And now, I mean, this is shaping up. If you look at the playoff odds, and I mean, anytime I say playoff odds, I just think about the one line I got in that documentary in the Red Sox doc. I talked about how the playoff odds said it was practically a zero chance. It's not that. It's like, I should pull it up.
It's 18.6, I think.
18.6. That sounds about right. Red Sox play off odds 2025 MLB odds fan graphs. Pat, what did you say it was? You said it was 18 something. It's 17.8.
Okay, so it went down. I think this morning it was 18.6.
Which, yeah, makes sense. There's some. There's been some games played. They're 27 and 31. They're going in the wrong direction. They don't hit. They play games that are all winnable, which I think an optimist would take as a positive. And I took that route at one point. I compared them to the Celtics a few years back when they ended up making the finals. I'll tell you the difference. My everything for me changed when Alex Bregman went down. Because with Costas going down, yes, your ceiling takes a tremendous hit. I don't care what people want to say. People hate Tristan Costas. It is what it is. That's a guy who has 30-plus home run potential. Even after his rough start, he could have still gotten there once he figured it out, which he would have. And now we'll see. But he's not going to be playing this year. First base is a black hole. After that, I still could have been sold on anything. And I still was sold. But once Bregman went down, you're playing terribly already. You're a 500 team, and we kept asking ourselves, what are they going to be, or what would they be if Bregman weren't here? And now we've seen it. Since Bregman got placed on the IL, they're 0-5. And I think it's all five of those games are gut-wrenching losses. Like nothing, there's no simple way to put it. They lose in the most brutal ways every single night. Whether it be blowing a game in the ninth that you were winning, whether it be blowing a game in the 10th you were winning, whether it be not scoring any runs. I mean, they scored one run pretty much every game, and then they scored two runs, and then they scored one run again. And then, hey, you scored a few more runs than one this time. But they blow that lead, and then they get the lead in the 10th, and then Christian Campbell throws the ball away, and his struggles. Like, I'm hesitant to criticize Campbell too much just because we know that this is what you get with rookies. And when you have all of the big three plus Narvaez up there, like, you're going to get that with all four of those guys. But he's not played well at all in the month of May after having a spectacular April. It just hasn't been the same. And it's resulted, that mixed with everything else that has happened, has resulted in a team that looks dead out there. And we weren't on the road with the team in Milwaukee, but I heard what Sean McAdam had to say about being in that clubhouse, and you saw the camera shots of Devers and Rafaela after the game looking just dead in the dugout. Like, how could you not? Like, it's got to be a brutal existence for them, just like it is for us, to live and die with every single pitch that this team throws or takes at the plate all year, and just for it to look like this. I still am almost without words for us being in this position before we're even a Jew.
Yeah, and I think if you go back to probably like the day before Bregman got hurt, there was a couple things that you could point out that you like felt pretty good about. You felt pretty good about Bregman, obviously. You felt pretty good about how Devers was looking offensively. You felt great, and you still do, about how Crochet was pitching. It seemed like they were kind of taking the foot off the gas on the usage on Whitlock, Slayton, and Chapman. They looked pretty good. It felt like there was a little bit of momentum. That first game of the doubleheader put them one game over 500, and then they had two more winnable games against Baltimore, and then Bregman goes down, and somehow Raffy stops hitting. The defense looks like shit. The starting pitching outside of Crochet was fine, I would say. It wasn't good. It was fine.
They've been preventing runs. They just haven't been giving you length.
Yes, exactly. Which then leads to Brendan Bernardino having 14 outings in the month of May.
Shout out Bernie, man. Shout out Bernie. That guy's a fucking trooper.
You got Chapman blowing his first save of the year. You got Dobbins coming in and basically imploding his first relief appearance. Like, anything that has could go wrong has gone wrong over the past 4 days. And there's literally nothing going for them right now outside of Garrett Crochet and Marcelo, like, holding his own at the major league level. That's about it. Narvaez stopped hitting. Raffy stopped hitting. Sogard and Toro both stopped hitting. Story is so lost at the plate.
He got a hit.
He had his Wow. Congrats.
He got a hit.
Things are so bad. He put down his first sacrifice bunt since he was a rookie. Sedan had a decent series offensively, horrific defensively, which somehow didn't bite him in the ass. Duran didn't have a great defensive series. Willier didn't have a great defensive series. He was okay at the plate. It's just like no one is playing well outside of Garrett Crochet. And there's no reason to believe outside of like Raffy and Duran that those fortunes are going to change.
Well, it's just the ceiling isn't the same without Bregman. And already offensively, they were mid with him and with him crushing it. You tell me what we should go into, Pat. I'll give you options here because there are so many things that I'm ready to just go on and on about. And I'll give you the choice. Do we want to talk about the kids? Do we want to talk about Devers' position? Do we want to talk about Campbell being jerked around? Do we want to talk about potential firings? Do we want to talk about Trevor Story?
I think let's just start off with the firings because I think that's going to be the easiest thing to kind of resolve here.
Okay. Well, my take on the firings is I feel like generally when teams have high expectations and perform like this and go through ruts like this, someone typically is made the sacrificial lamb. It didn't sound on today's Cora availability on WEI like they did anything. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't. Maybe they just weren't ready to say it or they didn't do it or whatnot. I don't know. Maybe something will have happened by the time you're listening to this podcast. But I certainly thought someone was going to go, whether it be a coach or you could call it a firing, a potential DFA of Liam Hendricks, who I think they've made it very clear they don't trust at all. I mean, they were that whole bullpen game where you knew you were only getting a few innings from Fitz. They made Wilson, Weissert, and Slayton. Every one of those guys had to go an extra out just so they could avoid having to pitch Hendricks. But because the game went into extras, they had to pitch him anyway. And of course, he lets up a walk-off grand slam. I wouldn't be surprised if we're nearing the end of Liam Hendricks. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a coach that is let go, maybe someone connected to the offense. I don't want to speculate on specific names because, again, like these are human beings with jobs and this is their income and all that. I get it. But at a certain point, like you've seen other teams do it. And I honestly am surprised that it hasn't happened. But if it hasn't happened now and stuff continues going the way it is, like it will happen.
Yeah. And then, I mean, in a perfect world, you can DFA Story. It's not going to happen.
I wouldn't do that, Pat. I'll tell you, I wouldn't do it.
Now that Bregman's gone, I get that part of it.
I wouldn't necessarily start him, but I think he can be valuable off the bench. And he's also, you have two people on the roster right now that you feel good about playing shortstop, and it's Story and Marcelo. So if you get rid of Story, you have two shortstops, one of which you don't like playing shortstop, and it's Hamilton, and both of them hit left-handed.
Yeah. So Story, I mean, Bentrell, again, he's not getting DFA'd.
I do that.
Yes. I agree with you on Hendricks. I think that like weird usage comment by him when he hasn't been good, but he's begging to be used, and then he's used and he sucks. I don't know. I don't think he has much leash at all left, if any, especially when you have legitimate good depth pitching in AAA. Nick Birdie has like a 0.56 in AAA this year, and he's striking out the world. If you wanted a long relief arm because the rotation cannot give you innings, Robert Stock has been great in AAA. Like, there's definitely options down there.
Luis Guerrero and Zach Kelly both down there, too. You don't need to, like, in the past, they've always made every decision in the name of preserving their depth. You don't need to do that this time.
Yeah, and it would be different, too, if Hendricks were being used in, like, high leverage spots like people thought he was going to be in sucking. He's pitching, like, the sixth inning, the seventh inning in not close games, extras when they have no arms left. Anyone in AAA can do that and probably do it better. So I think Hendricks is kind of nearing the end here. I think Story goes to the bench role. And like you said, Gordo, like when things are this bad, there's typically some form of sacrificial lamb. I like Pete Fatsy as a human being. I love Pete Fatsy as a human being. He's very nice. I'm not calling for his job. If I had to place money on who would be the sacrificial lamb whose head will roll, I would assume Pete, and I don't even think he necessarily deserves it. I just think
That's the thing. We don't as anyone besides people who are in that building, we don't know who is the reason why their approach at the plate. It's obviously your best guess is it's the hitting coach, but there's a lot of people on that hitting staff, and we really don't know what goes on there. But I agree with you, Pat. Like the offensive approach has been bad, and it's I don't know. It's hard because I also like Pete Fatsy, and I think he's done a good job in the past. And it's like one of those situations where if he's done a good job in the past, is it really him that's the problem? Like, we don't know. We don't know, but they know. And they're like, at some point a statement is going to have to be made. Like, so far, the only real statement that's been made since this terrible stretch started was Rob Refsnyder saying that they suck. And Let's be real. Like, Rob Refsnyder, he's only playing, he barely plays. Like, I need someone who plays should be going to the media and saying we suck and we need to be better. And maybe that's unfair because Story came out and was basically saying to Sean McAdam, I've been bad, and Sadon was basically saying like we're not trying to stink. So they kind of have, but there, no statement was as profound as what Refsnyder said. But I love Refsnyder, good veteran, but I need that coming from a guy like Devers. But Devers isn't talking to the media because he doesn't want to get asked the tough questions, so he just hides. Joe?
That was going to be my question, is which player ideally do you expect if it's not Refsnyder? And let's just put out there that it's not going to be Devers either. Like, do we expect Crochet to come out and say stuff like this?
I think it's got to be a position player because they're the ones who are out there every single day. And I would say if it's not going to be – if it's not Devers – I mean, obviously Bregman would come to mind, but he's not playing. So after that, I would probably say Trevor Story. But
Story is struggling. I'm thinking of a guy like maybe Duran to say something because he's probably. I mean, you could argue second best player in that lineup.
Duran, yeah. But still, I mean, in the end, words are words, actions are actions, and again, we're not calling for people's jobs, but at a certain point, like, it's just an inevitability that if a team with as high expectations as this team had, and I get they're injured, but they were bad before the injury. So I will not let the narrative after the season, if it goes the way it's going, I will not let the narrative be that they got cooked when Bregman went down. They've been bad since that Cardinals series where they finished a 5-game win streak. They have been bad since then. That is where it started.
Yeah. And before we kind of pivot, one thing I do want to touch on, in no world should Outscore be fired. I think that's the stupidest thing in the world. That being said, he absolutely can be better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is I unquestionably, this might be the first year that I've ever, 2019, but like almost every year Outscore is here, it feels like he's elevating the team. And this year, it feels like he's not on the same page with the front office. Doesn't feel like he's on the same page with his star player. It feels like there's so many different fires to be put out. And like, I don't know if it's just too difficult of a job or if I don't know. I can't explain it, but it doesn't feel like he's elevating the team in the same way that he has in the past. Doesn't mean he should be fired. Doesn't mean he won't elevate the team in the future or even for the rest of this year. But the Outscore magic touch, usually you feel the Outscore magic touch. Almost every year you feel it. Has not felt quite the same. Again, doesn't mean he should be fired. He shouldn't be fired. He won't be fired. It's month two of a 3-year, $21 million extension. Like, people calling for Cora's head, like, keep doing it if you want. It's not happening. So,
yeah. And I think one quick thing on Cora is, like, it's not like he's doing the same thing every day. Like, you saw him, I think it was game two. He managed that like a playoff game. He pulled Bayo early. He pitched his four best relievers, put them in the best position to win. They blew it. And then on Wednesday, he exhausted the bench. Like, he exhausted every platoon split. He tried to force Pat Murphy's hand to go to the bullpen.
Yep.
He used every single person on that bench to try and give them the upper hand, and they just couldn't do it. They blew it. My big thing is, and I mean, we saw a little bit of it that last game, but he has to be able to recognize what his team's offense now looks like. I said it last episode. They have to be a spawn ball team. And they did that in the last game. Story bunted over. Like, they manufactured runs better. They actually used sacrifice bunts. Like, it was a more palatable offense. It's still not a good offense. But that's, like, how this team is going to have to go. And it sucks that it took them until game three of a three-game series to kind of utilize that in such close games every single game. But that's, like, my one hope for Core moving forward, is altering the kind of offensive game plan and how they go about scoring runs. Like, they're going to have to bunt guys over. They're going to have to steal. They're going to have to do hit and runs. Like, you can't just put Story up there to let him hack and hope he has some pop left. Like, where you're kind of past that. You have to make runs how you can make runs right now with small ball.
Pat, you want to know what my hope for Alex Cora is? And this will take us into the next thing we should talk about here. My hope for Alex Cora is that because Cora's greatest skill, I mean, he's a baseball genius. He is. He is one of the brightest minds in the game. But his greatest skill, I think, is his ability to communicate with players of all backgrounds, all stages of their careers. He's able to get guys to do what the team needs of them. And, you know, there's time, I suppose, but as you lose games, you run out of that time. But Alex Cora, his season, in my eyes, is going to largely be viewed from the lens of, did he get Rafael Devers to play the field? Because, yeah, Christian Campbell is going to play first base this weekend. I think they said, Cora said probably Sunday he's going to play first base. And, like, that's great, I suppose. Maybe not. Like, Christian Campbell's been struggling mightily, and now he's about to play his fourth position while he's struggling. And he's, I believe, 4-for-47 at the plate since he started trying to learn first base. Not necessarily the ideal situation to break out of a slump, but if that's the avenue to get Anthony up here, I suppose. But we can go into the Rafaela thing. I don't think he gives you any value if he's in the infield. But I want to go back to the Devers thing. Alex Cora, his number one job right now needs to be get Rafael Devers to play either first or third base, and do it as soon as possible. I said it at the beginning of the show, it's tough for me to watch Rafael Devers sitting in the dugout after the games, clearly, like, just head over upset. Just, he's dying out there. He's head in his hands. He's clearly pissed. He doesn't want to lose. He wants to win. But I have a hard time feeling bad for him when surely it has been explained to this guy that if you play the field, you can remove Nick Sogard and Abraham Toro from the lineup and add Roman Anthony or Masataka Yoshida or both. Like, I can't feel bad for him sitting in the dugout like that. I can't feel bad for him as it pertains to the losing when, let's be real here, he can hit out of his mind. And Pat, you're right. He has not hit for a couple of games here, but overall, he has been terrific.
Oh yeah,
at the plate. But I might make the argument that he's one of the bigger reasons why they're losing, because he hasn't gone into the field. I'm still trying to figure out where the blame is supposed to go. Obviously, my mind goes most of it to Devers, but it's also Alex Cora. You have to be able to get your guy to do what the team needs. Craig Breslow, you need to communicate with this guy so he doesn't flip a shit at you when you ask. Teammates, like, you need to be able to go up to your teammate and say, hey, man, we need this of you. Like, has there been a team meeting? Doesn't sound like there's been a team meeting. If there's been a team meeting where guys can air things out, I wonder how many of them would say, Rafi, we need you to play first base. And if it's coming from his teammates and not the front office, I wonder. But are his maybe he would do it, but are his teammates afraid of him? Is the manager afraid of him? Is Breslow afraid of him? Like, I don't know. It feels like everyone's walking on eggshells with this Devers situation. And yeah, they've got a losing record since it started. So the Devers thing, Christian Campbell's going to play first base, and that's all well and good. But until we get a definitive conclusion to this Devers thing, that's going to be a cloud that hangs over this team for a long time. And to me, their only hope at even having a prayer at competing this year is if Rafael Devers plays defense, whether it be at third base or at first base.
I agree that Devers should be at first base. That being said, I don't hate as much as you. I don't. I think, honestly, yes, obviously it helps the team immensely if he goes over to first. He has an over 900 OPS. He leads the league in RBI. Like, he's figured out this DH thing.
Yep.
The worst thing in the world is he goes to first base, sucks, and then can't hit. And I think that's a very realistic possibility. I do. I don't think he'd be a good first baseman.
It's on the table.
Yeah. And I think that being said, you're now at the point where I tweeted it the other day. You're at the point in the season where a guy like Sedan Rafaela is a luxury you cannot afford in the lineup anymore. Sedan in the lineup is all well and great when you have one through seven hitters.
Why not both? I agree. Sedan shouldn't be in the lineup. I agree with you on that. They need to figure out how to get offense in the lineup, but you can do both here. Like, if you bench Sedan or even option Sedan, Roman's in the outfield. If Devers goes to first base, Massa is at the DH spot. Like, to me, and I agree, Pat, I want to back up to what you said before. You said, he might struggle. He's been hitting so well. He's figured out the DH thing. He might struggle as he's learning first base, similarly to how we're seeing with Christian Campbell here. But to me, right now, we've seen what the Red Sox are without Bregman, with Devers, when he's hitting and when he's not hitting. And both of those, whether he hits or not, it's not good. You have to take chances here. Like, something like, you have to make changes that maybe you didn't think you needed to make, or maybe you might need to push buttons that might be plan C, D, E, and F. But you have to try things to try to get some sort of spark into this lineup. And then when Bregman comes back and can kind of stabilize things, then you can kind of put the team out there that you sort of hoped you could. But for me, for now, I can't bear to see them put the same lineups out there, knowing that you've got multiple guys in Anthony and Yoshida that could lengthen this lineup that right now is pretty much, let's be honest, it's too deep. It's Duran, yeah. Devers, and then they're hitting like Narvaez. I mean, maybe it's not fair to Abreu, so maybe it's three deep. But like, Narvaez is your cleanup guy. I love the Narv. Big Narv guy. He's been awesome, way above expectations. That's not a cleanup hitter. I think Christian Campbell is going to be good. I think he's going to bounce back this year, and he's going to be a really valuable player for you. He's not a guy right now, as he's slumping, that should be hitting fourth or fifth. If you have Anthony and Yoshida in there, you've got Marcelo in there, it lengthens the lineup and at least puts pressure on the other team, which they don't do right now. The Sedan thing's a whole nother discussion, which, Pat, I'm in agreement with you. They should do that. He's maybe the best defensive center fielder in the league, but you need offense. You don't have a lineup that can sustain a defense-only guy.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Can I pose real quick? Because I remember during this series, I think it was Lou who pointed this out. It might have been also like on Twitter or whatever, how he mentioned how young the lineup is. And I want to get your guys' thought on this. What does the youth of the lineup? Because you look down the lineup, you got Devers most experience, and then Story after him, or maybe it's the other way around. Not a hundred sure. Censure, but it's basically your veterans are Story, Devers, and then an asterisk on Duran. But he's only been up here for like 3.5 and 4 years. And then it's basically rookies or second year guys. How much of that is tailing into these guys struggling?
I think it factors in a ton, right? Because the second and Gordo, like you said, right now the lineup is too deep, maybe 2.5 if you count Willier, but it's the second an inning starts where Duran and Devers don't do anything, the next guys in the lineup are the kids. Like, they immediately bolster that weight. It's not like this is the opening day roster and they're hitting, you know, 6, 8, 9. They're hitting 5, 6, 7, 4, 5, 6, 4, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Like, they immediately, like, the load immediately falls on them when Duran and Devers don't get on. It sucks. It's not exactly how you want to have these guys brought into the bigs with an immense weight on their shoulders, but I think it weighs a ton because the second Duran and Devers get out or don't do anything, it falls on the kids. If the kids don't do anything, 7, 8, 9, the lineup is a black hole right now. And then it gets back to the top. And if it happens again, the same thing happens. It's just a vicious cycle of everyone hits or no one hits. In the last 5 games, it's been no one hits.
It's just so funny to me to listen to Breslow still continue. Like, this isn't just something like Alex Cora said it at Fenway Fest. We want the prospects to come up and help us. We don't want them to have to save us, to carry us. And Breslow said something similar on the radio today for why they weren't calling Anthony up. And Joe, to your point about this lineup being so young, it's not even just that the lineup is so young. It's what are they asking the kids that are up here to do? Marcelo Meyer hit cleanup. Christian Campbell is on his fourth position and has hit cleanup. Like, you're asking these two guys to do so, in particular Campbell.
This would be good like 2 or 3 years from now, not during their rookie campaign.
Right. Like, when they have figured it out, and, you know, if Christian Campbell is hot and it's like, okay, like, we could use this from you, like, you can handle it, right? Yes. And when Meyer is crushing it as a big leaguer, yeah, of course he's going to hit high in the lineup. But it's hard for me to hear them say, we don't want Roman Anthony to have to save the franchise, when you're putting so much pressure on the other kids. To me, it's like, if you called up Anthony, you could take some pressure off of the other kids. Marcelo's now not the only new exciting rookie. He has his right-hand man there. Like, they're in it together. It's not just kind of trying to do it all by yourself, because, like, yeah, he like him and Christian Campbell, they're tight too. Certainly not like he and Roman are. Like, him and Roman are attached at the hip. But with Campbell, he's got his own shit to worry about, man. Like, this guy's playing 20 different positions and is trying to figure out how to bust out of the biggest slump of his life. Like, if you had Roman up here, yeah, I get it. Like, a lot of pressure, a lot of hype. You're going to have hype around him regardless of when he gets called up. So it's a young lineup, but you really, Joe, to go back to your original point, it's a young lineup, but what choice do you have? You don't have any choice. It's your only shot.
Gordo, I have something to say, and it serves no purpose to just rile you up.
Ugh, okay.
Jazz Chisholm just had media availability. He said, and I quote, Boone told me that he wanted me a third base. He really wanted me a third base. I'm a team guy. I'm here to win a ring. I'm not here to fight over positions.
Oh. It's not that crazy. It's not that crazy to have players of all calibers, like, whether it be rookie like Christian Campbell or an all-star guy who's been on the cover of MLB The Show like Jazz Chisholm or a future Hall of Famer like Mookie Betts. Like, guys move positions for the team. This isn't like some new thing. This isn't like this crazy thing. And it's not even like they're just like asking Devers out of nowhere. Like they have an emergency situation here where Tristan Casas, like your two corner infielders, the guys who play the positions that you could reasonably play, both of them went down and your team can't fucking hit. Like they're not being assholes here. Like he should play. And if he wants to win, he's going to need to. And if he doesn't go, they're not going to win. And they're just going to keep falling faster and faster and faster. And hey, they might fall anyway if he plays the field. But at least you'd give them a chance to put a real lineup out there, which they don't have right now. It's not a real lineup.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the big thing, honestly, in the meantime, if you can't or while you kind of wait out Devers, Roman has to be up here. He just has to be.
Yeah, he does. He can't get them all the way from where they are to where they need to be.
No. Yes.
But he can help. He can help. Him and Yoshida, that's the only and that may not even do it. But like at least you're trying. You have to try. This is a year to win. You have to try.
Now, for those of who may not know the service time manipulation, can you guys just explain it to them? What is the date that Roman Anthony is basically like, what is the team targeting when it comes to this service time manipulation?
So it's complicated because they've already passed the date in April where had he been called up before then and not won Rookie of the Year, after this year, he would have 5 years remaining. Now, if they call him up, it's 6 years. That 6 years goes like he gets to earn that full year of service time only if he wins Rookie of the Year or comes in second. Jacob Wilson is hitting 350. Roman Anthony would have to be fucking God at this point to surpass him. And maybe he could do that because he, like you look at him hitting 116 mile an hour balls, like not even 10 guys in the bigs are doing that this year. So I get it. But there's also the Super 2 thing, which is like first week. I don't even know when the Super
First week is. Of July, I think, right?
It's either first week of June, first week of July. But that shouldn't mean dog shit because all that is, that doesn't control the amount of time you have Roman Anthony for. That just controls how much he's paid. Like he'd get to go to arbitration a year earlier and thus earn like a few million dollars more in each of the last 4 years of his rookie deal. But like it doesn't give you an extra year of control. Like don't be fucking jerking around our 2025 season over a couple million dollars a year for Roman Anthony down the line. Like, so Joe, to answer your question here, yes, there are ramifications. Like, yeah, if you think that Roman Anthony is so good that he could win the Rookie of the Year, you could make the argument to hold him back. My thought is if he's good enough to win the Rookie of the Year, that means you're probably going to the playoffs because he's lighting the world on fire if he's winning the Rookie of the Year in 4 months when Jacob Wilson's having the season he's having, playing all six.
Yeah. And then, but like the other thing too is, and it sucks that it's like a factor here, but is the team so bad where it's not worth burning a year of Roman?
Well, we were talking about, you may have been at work and you may have missed this, but I was texting with Sammy about it in the group chat today. And it was basically Red Sox stats said he would hold Roman Anthony down until July 4th. And my response to that, I think that's batshit fucking crazy and that's dumb
Agreed.
As fuck on his
Agreed.
Part.
Because
if you hold him back until July 4th, you might as well throw the season down the tubes. And if the season's down the tubes, keep him in the minors the whole year, man, and just save him till July of next year and save another year. And at that point, we could keep another year of his prime and keep him till he's, instead of 27, 28, now it's 29. Like, you can make the argument to keep him down to keep his control until the cows come home. At a certain point in time, you have to try to win games. And to try and win games, you have to put the best product you can on the field. And there are so many different people that don't seem to be pulling in that direction right now. And that's what's frustrating to me. Like I said in the opening, the front office isn't putting the best product on the field because they're not letting Roman Anthony play in the majors. Rafael Devers, by not playing the field, isn't allowing for a situation where Anthony or Yoshida could get to the majors. He's not pulling in the right direction. Like, I need everyone in this organization pulling towards a World Series, but it feels like everyone is on different pages and has different agendas and different ideas of what they need to be prioritizing, whether it be the present, the future, or me. So, I feel like if everyone was on the same page and was pulling in the same direction and focused on putting the best team on the field for the sake of the team, things could be better.
Yeah, agreed. And then, the crazy thing is, I'm looking at Roman's numbers right now. It won't happen. But let's say he played a full year in the minors, right? He is currently on pace for 26 home runs, 86 RBI, about 100 walks and 100 strikeouts. Even, by the way, that's a 44-45 number. That's a 1-to-1 walk to strikeout ratio.
That's ridiculous. 318
with a 980 OPS. And that's just sitting there while you're giving Sedan Rafael at bats and banking on Nick Sogard to get going. It's just...
Can we talk about the Sedan thing real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think... Tell me what you would do with him. If Roman got called up tomorrow, your outfield, I assume, is Durant or Anthony in left, Duran in center, Abreu in right. Is that correct?
Say it again.
Your outfield, if Roman got called up tomorrow, would be Anthony in left, Duran in center, Abreu in right.
Yes.
What is your then solution with Sedan?
So I've been probably the biggest advocate against this, but I would actually do it in this scenario. I would put him at shortstop. And it sucks because 97% of his value comes as a defensive center fielder. That being said, the way Story's playing right now, he's probably about just as good. And then offensively, as bad as he is offensively, he's still better offensively than Story. But the other thing, the optimal thing I would do is put him at third and let Marcelo mature at shortstop.
Let me tell you why I disagree with you. So last year we saw, Sedan Rafael was amazing in center field, but he only got to play about half the games in center field. The other half were at shortstop. His outs above average, he was in the 30th percentile. I could pull up the Fangraphs numbers and go position by position, but you get the gist. He was metrically not a good defensive shortstop last year, and I'm not holding it against him. Like, he was jerked around playing in both spots and, prepared the season as an outfielder for the most part and was asked to play shortstop as a rookie learning in the majors. Like, it's a tough position to be in. But this guy is amazing in the outfield. He is below average as a shortstop. And we've seen him as a hitter. He is, to this point, he's been one of the worst. Since his career started, he has been probably amongst the bottom five hitters in the sport since last season started. Obviously, he has his ups and downs, but I think we know, at least for the time being, who he is. With Story, I know the metrics say that he's been awful at shortstop. I think he hasn't been good, but I think he's probably a little bit closer to average than the metrics say. And I know I know Chris Hatfield dug up some stuff about how, he's down from maybe specific shifts, or maybe it's because of helping Campbell, all that. To me, Trevor Story also has a much higher offensive ceiling than Rafaela. So what I would do is I would be down to play Trevor Story over Sedan. And if the team fell out of contention, then I would say, okay, let's bring Sedan up here, get him MLB at bats. But for the time being, the highest ceiling, I would play Meyer at short and then maybe have some sort of Trevor Story, David Hamilton platoon at third while you have your Romy platoon at first. And if you want to get Sedan every day at bats, send him to AAA, because I know everyone kind of uses I've been guilty of this, using the utility player crutch for him. But to me, I want my best team out there almost every day. And to me, I don't think he's a part of that. So I would be fine optioning him. And he's your depth. He comes back if anyone gets hurt, and you're fine with it, because he's not a bad player at all. He's a major league caliber starting player. But on this team, he's not in the top three outfielders. And I don't think he brings you more value in the infield than guys like Trevor Story and David Hamilton. So that's just my thoughts there. But I also understand the perspective of get him at bats, because he can help you if he hits his ceiling. So I get that. But it's not what I would do.
When was the last time you looked at Trevor Story's Baseball Savant page?
He was in like the 10th or lower percentile outs above average last time I looked. What is he at?
I'm talking about everything.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. I got it right here.
Well, yeah. Naturally, it's going to look like that. He's been terrible.
But he is 9th percentile outs above average, and he's below average arm strength. He is... Dude. He is 2nd percentile in batting run value. He is 9th percentile in launch angle sweet spot, 4th percentile in squared up, 9th percentile in chase, 20th percentile in whiff, 7th percentile in strikeout, 11th percentile in walk. That might be the worst offensive baseball savant page I've ever seen in my life.
I wonder who's in the first percentile of batting run value. But either way, I mean, he's on my bench. I would be fine platooning him with Marcelo. Like, clearly they're going to try to limit Marcelo's exposure against tough lefties. I'd be okay if Story
crazy because he's hit lefties.
He struggled against lefties historically in the minors. It's been better this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder who's first percentile. I immediately thought of Jacques Peterson. It's not him.
Oh, God. Who could it be? I'm trying to think of who's been...
I don't know. Dude, Jacques Peterson has a 507 OPS. I mean, Story's not much better, but...
Can I do that in Baseball Savant? I don't know.
Oh, dude, I know exactly who it is if he's qualified.
Oswaldo Cabrera. Who is it?
Oh, no, he's not qualified. I was going to say Connor Wong.
Oh, yeah, he's not qualified.
I wonder
who. Yeah, a lot of these guys who have been terrible aren't qualified. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out on our own time. Bad podcasting. But yeah, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong with what you do in the infield as long as the outfield is Anthony, Duran, Abreu, and Devers is playing one of the infield positions so that Yoshida can play DH. Like, you're going to have a spot in the lineup until Bregman gets back where it's occupied by a guy you maybe wouldn't want there every day, whether they be playing third base, first base, second base if Campbell's... who knows? Someone in the infield isn't going to be ideal. You're going to have like a Nick Sogard out there. You're going to have a David Hamilton out there. It is what it is. That's just when two of your starting infielders that you're expecting all-star production from go down, that's just what happens. But... I it's just so funny. I thought I was being aggressive saying June 1st was my deadline for Trevor Story to put it together, and I pulled the plug on him so much faster than that.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't. I mean, they're going to do it because they, in terms of ceiling, they kind of almost have to keep running him out there. Like, that's why you can't DFA.
Yeah.
Just because they don't have enough quality infielders, and he's not that right now, but I mean, at least there's a chance he could maybe tap back into that at some point. Whereas you have other guys that, like Nick Sogard, is never going to be like a starting dude for you. Like, Story could put together a week where he actually helps you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he will, but I'm just saying the chances are higher than guys like Sogard, Toro. Yeah. So
fair. Real quick, just to tie up a loose end. The first percentile batting run value is Michael Harris II.
Oh, wow. Damn, he got paid too.
Yeah. Yep. But no, I agree with you, Gordo. I agree.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Do you have any enough said before we get out of here?
Oh, I did.
What about Michael Massey? He might be there.
I have the bottom five right here.
Is he in it?
It's Michael Massey is actually the worst.
Hey.
Michael Massey, yeah. Marcus Semien, Andrew Vaughn, Michael Harris, Trevor Story.
Okay.
As far as enough said goes, not much. Just go Pacers.
I'm trying to think if I have enough said. I can't bring myself to watch a ton of the basketball since.
Oh, I do have enough said. Keith Laws, top 50. Franklin Arias being top 10. That's crazy. Insane. That's nuts.
Keith Laws always been a little bit crazy with his rankings, but
that
I mean,
being that being said, this is per Hunter Knoll. Shout out, Hunter Knoll. So this morning, Franklin Arias was ranked, Gordo, number 8, correct?
Yeah.
Number 8 in the top 50. He then promptly went for a four-hit day, including a double. Fuck he yeah. is now hitting .374 with a .950 OPS in 23 games in high A. He has a 9-game hitting streak. He has 12 multi-hit games in double in a high A. So that kid's a problem. See you in 3 years, pal.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because, like, I don't know. I guess in 3 years, it's just so hard to say. Just because, like, is Alex Bregman gonna be here? Is Marcelo Meyer gonna be your shortstop? Like, Arias probably maybe better defender, but like, who knows? Like, it's just good. It is good that they have a constant pipeline of guys because the password also got ranked number 46 in those rankings.
Who did?
Password.
Yeah.
He got ranked number 46. Like, just because the big three are going to graduate from these lists, they got more coming, man. Yeah. And then, they got pitchers coming too.
I was going to say, you got guys like Peyton Tolley, Juan Valera,
Connolly Early.
And I'm missing some. Luis Perales. Yeah. So.
Brandon Clark.
That was the other one. Thank you, Brandon Clark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of the password, he hit a solo shot tonight.
Hell yeah.
Yep. So yeah, yes, they've got. It's going to be funny with the password because there's no way that guy is going to be with the Red Sox, right? Like long term, there's no way,
dude. He's either
there's no spot.
The long term solution at first base or traded. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe he's traded for the long-term solution.
I feel like Yastinkson's not even that big in terms of, you know, like first baseman height. I don't think he's that big.
I don't think you're going to even need to worry about it because I think they're going to get a controllable pitcher or something.
Yeah. I will say, not making like national news or anything. Shout out to Blaze Jordan having a phenomenal year in Double A. Should be getting the look for Triple A soon, I hope. But, yeah, great year for Blaze. Super Nice guy. Active on Twitter. Shout out, Blaze.
Shout out, Blaze. Yeah, weird that they brought in Ryan Noda when they could have just given Blaze
Jordan. Yeah, promoted. Yeah.
He kind of deserves it at this point. I guess my enough said is more so going to be an outro. Joe, do you have anything before we get out of here?
Real quick, everyone needs to calm down about all the Patriots news. Let's get more information on the Diggs video. Let's wait and see for Drake May.
What is pink cocaine? What is? I have no idea.
No, you have no dude, idea.
It was a pink bag with cocaine. What happened, man? Oh, a wide receiver one can't hang out with girls and give out coke. What happened? What happened to this one? What do you think Michael Irvin was doing on the Cowboys?
Ugh. I'm just saying. I didn't like Diggs when I signed him, but let's get some more information before we're
you fucking handed him that piece of paper, Joe. You were in that room with the Patriots backdrop at the TV screen with his face on it, and you were like, "Sign here, Steph. Sign here."
Yep, it was all me.
It was all Joe. Negotiations too. Shrewd Joe Braverman.
Yeah,
Don't mess with him. It's my agent right there. All right, I'll do my enough said, which is basically an outro. The last few games, they were all close, and I felt I didn't feel nervous at all. I didn't feel scared, and especially early in the season, first two months of the season for me, like the games always feel a little bit bigger because there hasn't been as many of them, and I've been waiting for the game to come back for so long, and I get super into it, and if there's a close game and it's early, like, oh, I'm ready, I'm feeling the pressure, and I haven't felt the pressure, and I have not been able to figure out whether it's because they seemingly play close games every single day, or if it's because I fully expect them to lose the games now, and like it'll be 1-0 Sox in the eighth or 1-1 in the ninth, and I just know that they're going to lose. So something I'm going to pay attention to from here moving forward is why am I not feeling anything? Because like I always feel something watching the Red Sox, especially this early. Like until it's September and the games actually don't count, I always feel it, and I'm like kind of concerned about myself that I haven't been feeling it as much. I'm still just as upset after the games, but I don't feel quite as nervous during it, and I can't figure out if it's because I'm just so used to them playing close games or if I just fully expect them to lose. Pat, one more thing before we get out of here.
Yeah, real quick. I cannot believe we didn't lead off the program with this. Shout out Chris Murphy. Back to game
Shout out
action.
Murph. That's my enough said. Shout out Murph. Back on the mound.
Shout out Murph.
Murph is back. Kenrod's back.
One hit. No walks. Yeah. Shout out Murph. Friend of the program. I believe him and Rob and Cotillo. I believe those three are in the exclusive three-time playtesty guest appearance club. So, four gets him a jacket. So,
ooh, speaking of,
oh,
Marcelo, we got something. But hopefully he can get his first major league win before he gets his playtesty gift. But
yeah,
we'll figure that out. But yeah, shout out Murph, back on the mound. Probably why they were so comfortable trading Newcomb. They know they got a long lefty coming back, and hopefully we see Murph in the majors at some point soon. But he's going to need to like work up like a spring training, so it's not going to be super soon. But he's on the road, and it's good to see because it's been a long way. That's going to do it for episode whatever the hell this is of Playtesty, episode 218 of Playtesty. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on WEI's page. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos. We got the Playtesty playlist there with all of those. Subscribe to WEI. And then find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I thought we'd hit rock bottom before our last recording, but this is lower. So I'm not going to say it's going to get better because it may not. We will see. For Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Playtesty. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.